Good morning. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we welcome you into this place this morning. Welcome to Providence Presbyterian Church. Welcome back for those for whom this is home, and for those for whom this is our first time, we pray fervently that you find a space in this place and that you are welcomed, and that if you have any questions, feel free to ask anyone. We are more than willing to connect. We invite you all to use the welcome pads found at the center of towards the and center aisles in order to better connect with the people that are in your pew. We'll turn our attention now to our announcements for the week. After worship today, we have our fellowship time, which will take place in the room right behind us. The doors behind you will open up, and you are invited to come and have a time of fellowship. Pastor Chris will return tomorrow from vacation. She is enjoying a time with her sister and celebrating her birthday this weekend. Looking further to the week, our prayer breakfast is on Wednesday morning. And as you all, many of you know, the Rhode Island Civic Chorale is rehearsing in the evenings on Wednesday, so that information is listed. Worship committee is meeting at 9 a.m. this Thursday. Men groups gathered at the beer garden at 7 p.m. this Thursday. Chancel choir practice on Friday. And the continuing conversation on aging will be taking place here at the church from 10:30 till noon. This will be led by Murray Blackadar. Murray, did you want to speak to this at all? All right, I think I've done it adequately. The question and the topic are, what are the issues and concerns regarding remaining in your homes as we age? So if that is a conversation piece that you are interested in, maybe for yourself or loved ones, you are quite welcome and invited to the time in the Hope Room on Saturday morning. Next week, of course, we also have worship, and the Kenyon Christian Fellowship will be meeting from 3 to 5 p.m. Looking further ahead, we are very blessed. Alonzo Johnson from the PCUSA's Peace and Justice Committee will be coming and preaching for us on May the 8th. This is a really wonderful honor. He's actually preaching at the Presbytery meeting on the 7th, the day before, and we were offered and extended the opportunity to have him preach. He does a lot of work around racial reconciliation from a denominational effort, so it'll be great to have that content and that connection going forward. On Thursday, April 28th, there is a Stand Up Against Gun Violence rally taking place at the State House from 4 to 3. On that Friday, the 29th, we have the fundraiser. Please note that the deadline for signing up for that fundraiser is April 20th. Jenny, did you want to add more to that? Thank you, Jenny. And again, for those who might have had, if you have any questions regarding and are interested in doing the wonderful fundraiser that's taking place on behalf of the Presbyterian Immigration Ministry, please see Jenny, and she'll be able to help you make the logistics happen. Thank you, Jenny. A couple other announcements looking forward. On May 11th, there is the Rhode Island Interfaith Coalition to Reduce Poverty is having their, I think it's twice annual conference. The time is listed from 8 to 12:30. However, you're gonna wanna let either Pastor Chris or myself know that you're interested if you wanna get the group discount for the registration by May 1st. So May 1st for that wonderful conference that's engaging a lot of different topics that affect poverty here in Rhode Island. And lastly, not mentioned, but we just set the date for our next book club. It is for the book, it's a novel called Americana. It is written by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, who is a Nigerian writer. The novel is it's a wonderful novel. I just completed it. That engages a conversation of immigration into the U.S. from Nigeria, and also international immigration, and it's a love story, and it's just a complicated conversation around race and diversity. So I really, really welcome anyone to come, but it's a great conversation written from a wonderful West African author. Are there any other, and the date for the book club is actually June 4th. So we'll be having flyers come out and the announcements will show up in our e-newsletter. But if you have any questions, feel free to contact me. Are there any other announcements for the good of the body?
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, Mrs. Lockhart. Hi. I'm part of a Boy Scout troop, Troop 28, and on Saturday, May 7th, we're having a fundraiser. It's our only fundraiser for the year. It's what we call it, the world's greatest pancake breakfast. It's you basically come and we prepare any breakfast you can think of. Just tell us what you want on any omelet. We'll serve it to you. We cook all the food. We serve all the food. We'll pick up your plates after like you're going to any other restaurant. Tickets are $8 per person, $20 for family. That covers any amount of people that are in your family. And I do believe there will be a plant sale also there. From 8 to 11.
At Central Congregational Church.
And Kirk said it was awesome last year. Unfortunately, we have presbytery that day, but I'm so tempted. Any other announcements?
Hi, I work for the Lippitt House Museum on Hope Street, and we're having a soft opening of a new program called Lippitt Labs, which is converting the House Museum into a laboratory to explore history. And the theme that we're doing this week is on schooling. So if anyone would like to come and try out drawing with slate pencil or writing with inkwells, it's between 2 and 4 at Lippitt House on Hope Street, and I'd love to see you.
Thanks, Danielle. Seeing no more announcements, let us continue with our worship to God. Join me now in the responsive call to worship. O Lord and Savior, we are still living into your resurrection life. Your Spirit revives us as sheep of your fold, the lamb of your fold. Wash us anew, that we may sing your praises with the heavenly voices above. As we worship, may we hear your voice anew today, be known by you, and follow you always. You are invited to stand as we sing in mind and in body, as we sing two oldies but goodies this morning to begin our worship with joy. Jesus loves me, and there's a sweet, sweet spirit.
I'd like to invite you to confess your sins as individual, as church, as group, as professional, as doctors, nurses, lawyers, as people of God. This is the time when we come and we bring all your brothers and sisters along us. We walk the path, and sometimes, just sometimes, we forgot them behind. Let's pray. Let's go straight to our sins. Let's pray. Now, in just one voice, let's confess together. O Holy One, you are always with us, guarding our days, and you know when we stray away, when we step out of turn, when we do wrong on turn the other way. Forgive us for not following your path. Help us to understand what it means to be washed by you, led by you, and to set about following you. Lord, in your mercy, please forgive us. Amen.
Let us sing together our song response to the good news that in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen, amen. Let there be harmony in this place today. Thank you so much, choir. We have come to a time in our service in which we are able to bring forth our joys and our concerns. I'd like to start us off this morning with two very large joys. Yesterday was Dorothy Lou Signan. Where are you at, dear? Where are you, my love? I'm looking. Oh, her 80th birthday. Did I get it right? 23rd? Sorry, 23rd. Her 23rd-ish, that fair? 23rd-ish birthday. God is good, amen? Amen? We are so grateful for your witness. We also are in a weekend of celebration for Auntie Beatrice's 90th birthday. Yesterday there was a wonderful celebration for her birthday, and we're so grateful to have so many here celebrating that 90th birthday celebration. So we lift that up to God as well. Do I have a volunteer to run the microphone? Let me go with Josie. I think you're the least recent. Oh, I'll let Josie do it.
I'd like to ask for prayers for my mom, Pauline. She is in the final stages of packing up her house and getting ready to move into assisted living, and she's got lots and lots and lots of stuff to go through. So prayers for my mom.
I have a real joy. My brother down in Pennsylvania, Brother Jim, we've been praying for him for many years. He is not in remission. He is cancer-free after 9 years.
Praise be to God.
I've asked for prayers before, but my 98 and a half year old friend, Eunice Strobel, had another stroke. She's in the hospital. Apparently she can speak, which is good. She broke her pelvis. That's not a good thing to break at any age. Her prayers have been since way before the first one, please God, it's time for you to take me home. And so I add that into my prayers for her too. I will see her this afternoon so that if in the hospital, if anyone wants to send messages, I'll be happy to carry them.
We will indeed join you in prayer for Eunice.
I have a joy. Tuesday's my mom's half birthday.
Oh, I should let everyone. So this year, Soraya's really into half birthdays. And I'll be having my half birthday. The whole family's doing it, so sorry. I'll be having my half birthday, apparently, this week. So yay!
I'd just like to ask prayers for my aunt and uncle, John and Nancy. They just finalized their divorce recently, so just prayers for them and for the kids and our whole family as they start to move forward.
Absolutely. John and Nancy and family.
Continue prayers for my dad, who's recovering from a leg infection. He got back from the hospital Monday, I think it was, and he's doing great. He's out and about, didn't get him down. I'd also like continued prayers for our friend Sam, we've been praying for him for the past year. He battled lymphoma and was in remission for a bit, and his cancer has returned. Mm-hmm. And he had his first chemo treatment this week and then ended up with he's in the ICU right now with an infection. So he needs our prayers. I guess he's not doing very well. And continue prayers for my boss, Donna, as she wraps up her radiation treatments.
Indeed, prayers for Bill Sears, Sam, and Donna. Bill Marmer, sorry, your dad, Bill.
Good I'd like prayers for my nephew Jack and my brother and his family. Jack's mom yesterday went to wake him up because he was late for work, and he nearly died. This is his second overdose, and the family had thought that he was doing much better, but apparently not. So he's been whisked off to a rehab facility in Texas, and it looks like there'll be a long haul there for Jack. So prayers for him, thanks.
Indeed, prayer for Jack and for family.
I'd like to ask prayers for, I've got an appointment on Friday with an autonomic nerve specialist, hoping he can find some answers to my continuing medical mysteries. So, thanks.
Absolutely. Mark, we join you in prayer.
We have to hope that God has a sense of humor as well as dead seriousness. I pray every now and then for the Pope. You get this about, you know, once or twice a year. So I pray for the Pope. And the interesting thing is Mark Shields on the NewsHour the other night said about Sanders going to the Vatican that if you can't be endorsed by the Pope, endorse the Pope. So I'm endorsing the Pope. And Shields mentioned in that something in the order of 65 or 68% of agnostics and 65 or 68% of atheists approve of the Pope. So the Pope is obviously doing a very good job. And if you saw the news yesterday, he was in Lesbos, a Greek island off of Greece, and took back to the Vatican or to Rome
immigrants.
A family or two of Syrian
immigrants.
Refugees. The Pope's a good guy.
Yeah. Prayers for the Pope in these days. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you all for your prayers in my recent hospitalization and hopefully recovery. Thank you.
My friend Deb is in a really dark place in her life right now, so I'd ask prayers for her.
Prayers for Deb.
I would seek prayers for the people of Japan suffering from another earthquake. Mm-hmm. And also the people of Ecuador suffered another earthquake. And there's a group of high school students touring Ecuador from East Greenwich.
Indeed, prayers for Japan and Ecuador and those traveling to those places.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Father, I tell you, thank you, Lord. Yesterday, you are doing wonderful for me. Because everything is coming from you. He said your power can make it we walk. Hmm. Your power can make it we eat. Your power can do everything. So, Father, I tell you, thank you. I tell my family, thank you. My children, I tell you, thank you. Kokwavi children, Kate children. I present everybody. The church, the pastor, the choir, the sisters and brothers. I tell
yes,
everybody,
Lord.
Thank you. That you must follow that man who greater us. Because he is our champion.
Yes.
He our healer.
Amen.
He our everything.
Amen.
So you follow the God. Mm-hmm. You must not follow him. Cockroach way. You follow him through.
Mm.
Because that man, every morning, I ask you a question. I say every morning, when you get out, anything what you are doing, I write it down. The good, I write it down. The bad you are ready down. You will see the what will pass. If when the good plenty, it give you answer.
Mm-hmm.
When the bad plenty, it not give you the answer.
Mm-hmm.
So God is watching us.
Amen.
You must be careful. Don't say I come to church. That other way, pour your heart down.
Amen.
Let love one another. Let care for one another.
Yeah.
Because you are holding the Bible. You are not reading the back. You are reading inside. Hallelujah. So I tell God, thank you.
Amen.
Now the time.
Yeah.
Nobody land a car, land a house where you can pay God tax.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot pay tax, pay for God, man, pay for God. Mm. The man were greater you.
Mm.
Pay tax. Then he can open the door for you.
Amen.
I pay tax here, I pay tax in Africa. God. God, he power making me stand on here
today. Amen.
So I don't know what to say. Father, I tell you, thank you. Now tell all my sisters and my children, thank you. Let bless everybody. Everybody, the thing where they spend their father, multiply for them. Because you know everybody has. He then give them power so they can able to follow you. Because you are young, You are the Alpha Omega, Father. Amen. I tell you, thank you, Lord, for me to stand on here.
Amen.
For being in the Royal Hospital, my sister, where they said they don't find nothing. They said, we don't know what I'm going to give you. Then we will give you the tablets. Now, see, you don't know the sickness, they give me the tablet for what reason? For what reason? I said, show me the thing we're making you sick. They said, some tablets, what they give you. And the one making get asthma get this. So I say, you want to go the whole America, you want to give them that tablet so they can buy your medicine? So you want to get the commission? I say, Father, my father will heal me. And I turn it to my father. And they heal me. So I tell everybody.
Amen.
Thank you. Father, so I tell everybody, thank you why you will be here today.
Amen. Why
in life, why you will be here. I tell you, thank you, and I'm so happy for you. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Auntie Beatrice, for the powerful testimony and witness to the Christ.
Just want to thank God for his grace, his joy, and his peace.
Amen. God's grace is beautiful. We give thanks this day.
I also would like to ask for prayers for this co-worker of mine, Karen Baker. She has some family challenges going on. Remember, Karen, your prayers, please.
We indeed join in prayer for Karen as well. Seeing no more prayer concerns from the body, let us go before the throne of God. Let us speak to our Lord and Savior on this day. Let us pray. Christ Jesus, you are our good shepherd. And so we thank you this day for your presence in this world. We are the people of your pasture, the sheep of your hand. Help us, Lord, to listen to your voice so that we may believe, so that we may do, so that we may live according to your promise and serve your purpose in the world. We pray this, God, in your holy name. And so this day we lift up prayers and we respond to the prompt of God of new life with, hear our prayer. Rejoicing in God's promise of a new creation, let us pray to the maker of heaven and earth saying, God of new life, hear our prayer. We pray for the church this day, O Lord. We praise you and thank you that we can gather in this place this day. There are places around the world for which your people are scared to gather. And so we thank you for the freedom to speak freely of who you are in our lives this day. Give us the grace to stand with those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb. And now worship at your throne in glory. God of new life, hear our prayer. We pray for the world. God, we pray for the spaces where hunger exists. God, we thank you for the witness of the Pope around the world. We thank you for those who are responding to the tragedies of earthquakes in Japan and in Ecuador. God, we ask for your mercies for those who are traveling. May they be able to arrive home safely. May those who are in need be seen. Help us to feed the hungry. Help us to be vessels for your good news, that there may be drink for the thirsty. God, we ask that you continue to guide us to the spring of life that comes only from you. As a world, guide us, O Lord, to who you are. So indeed, we will enter the day in which all tears will stop, where crying will be no more, fear will be no more. God, we need you to wipe away every tear from our eyes in this day. God of new life, hear our prayer. We pray for this community, O God, for the state of Rhode Island, for those who are impoverished, we pray this day. For the injustices around education, and the least of these, we pray this day. For the violence in our neighborhoods, we pray this day. For those who are not seen as people, but seen as problems, we pray this day. Let us be faithful disciples in this place, O Lord, devoted to good works and charity, and nimbly serving others in your name. God of new life, hear our prayers. This day, O Lord, we pray for our loved ones. We give so many thanks for the ways in which you are moving in this place. For Dorothy's birthday, for the celebration of Auntie Beatrice, we say thank you. 80 and 90 years you have blessed these women, so we say thank you, O Lord, for their presence and their witness in this place. God, we pray for Eunice. We pray for answers for Mark. In these days, we pray for Bill and Sam and Donna. God, we pray for Jack. Be with him in these steps of recovery and wholeness. Send your angels and messengers to offer him words of peace, words of wholeness, so that he may be held tightly by your graces. We pray for Karen. We pray for Deb. We pray for John and Nancy in these days after divorce. God, send your peace that passes all understanding in the midst of the family so that love may still show and abide as people see each other as your children. God, we thank you for your graces that are new every morning. God, we thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. God, we thank you because you are consistent every morning. We thank you for the witness of Auntie Beatrice, the ways in which your wisdom, your truth, and your power, and your steadfastness shows through her. God, we thank you for the good news regarding Jim. God, I thank you for a half a year more of life and for a child who celebrates it. For Lee's recovery and continued love from this church, as we can only give what we get from you, we say thank you. God, you are good. Walk with those, we pray. Walk with those Syrian refugees looking for homes and looking for places. Walk with those refugees around the world from all corners who are looking for a place to be and be seen as fully human, as fully a child of the Great One. Walk with those who are in dark valleys. Comfort them and protect them from harm. Show to them your mercy and your goodness. God of new life, hear our prayer. Gracious God, keep us working and praying for the coming of your holy realm of peace, when we will share abundant life with you through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Can our young worshipers come forward, please? Hey, everybody. Good morning. How are you doing? Last week, we talked about a scripture, and I started off by doing this action.
Fishing.
Anybody can remember anything from that story? Tell me something you remember.
Like, so people went out fishing, and then this random guy just showed up and said, "Fish on the other side."
Excellent. This random dude shows up, and it was?
Jesus.
It was Jesus. Always the right Sunday school answer. It was Jesus. And Jesus showed up, and then what happened after Jesus showed up next?
He told them to fish on the other side, and then they caught so many loads of fish.
Right. They had so many loads of fish. I think it was like 367 or maybe 76, something like that, with a whole lot of fish. And then what happens?
To be exact, they said it was 56.
356. High five on that. Boom. Those young brains wouldn't trade them for a world. So after they get the fish, what happened after that?
They realized it was Jesus.
They realized it was Jesus. And then what did Jesus do for them? Anybody remember? Yes.
Jesus made breakfast for them with bread and some of the fish that they caught.
Excellent. So Jesus fixed this awesome breakfast by the shore. I bet you it smelled all good because, you know, roasted fish in the morning would be great. And so they had this wonderful breakfast after fishing all night long. And then Jesus has a conversation with somebody. Anybody remember what he says to, what's the guy? Anybody remember that guy's name? If you remember, yell it out. One, two, three. Simon Peter, yep. So he was talking to Simon Peter, and he comes up to Simon Peter. And Simon Peter had kind of, like, turned his back on Jesus previously. He didn't have the best track record of listening and really sticking it out. So what, anybody remember what's happened next? Go ahead.
Jesus said, "Do you love me?" And then Simon Peter said, like, "Yeah, you know I love you." And then Jesus said something like, "Feed my sheep."
He says it, and it happens how many times? What, one, two, three times he asked, "Simon Peter, do you love me more than these?" And he goes, "Yes, Lord, you know I do." And Jesus goes, "Well, then tend my sheep, feed my sheep." Each time, Jesus gives him an instruction to care for each other. First of all, I want to give you all an amazing round of applause for remembering that story. Now, last week, our youth, our older youth, our middle and our high schoolers, they were thinking about that very same story. And they thought, what in the world does it mean to tend God's sheep? Anybody can think of a way that, if that was what the disciples were told back then, and if we're supposed to do something similar now, what are things that we could do to help tend God's sheep? What'd you say? Yes, so you could take care of things, right? Yes.
Keep predators away.
Keep praying away. Amen. Keep praying. What?
He said keep predators away.
No, keep praying. Oh, keep predators away. I'm so sorry. Keep predators away. My apologies. So, right, so we would protect the sheep, right? We don't want anything bad to happen to them. Yes.
Probably he was trying to represent sheep for his people. And as he said, keep predators away, probably those are the people who want them not to believe in him.
Excellent. Amen. So the idea that the sheep may not just be sheep that go, bah, bah, bah. I'm sure Jesus does care about the actual sheep. But could it be that it's also all of the people that Jesus was taking? Because we have this image of Jesus as the good shepherd, and he takes care of all of us. Yes, Lucy?
Love the sheep.
Love the sheep! We are called to love the sheep. So our youth, we're thinking, what's a way that we could love the sheep? And you know, sometimes there are people who might be hungry, right? Have you ever seen somebody be hungry before? Yeah, you've ever felt hungry? Have you ever seen someone be thirsty before? Ever felt thirsty? Yeah, we all know that feeling. Sometimes we are called to take care of each other. So today's scripture, Jesus says something very simple, very similar to that, in that it was earlier in that same book in the Bible, and Jesus says, my people, I will hold them in my hand. I'll take care of them. And no one can snatch them away. Does it feel good to know that no one can snatch us away from Jesus? That feels really, really good. And there's a song I want to sing that has to do with that first. And then I've got one more activity for you, okay? So this is a song that some of you might know. He's got the whole world in his hand.
He's got the whole wide world in his hand.
He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the mommies and the daddies. He's got the mommies and the daddies. Stand up. In his hand. He's got the mommies and the daddies. In his hands, he's got the mommies and the daddies. In his hands, he's got the whole world. Brothers and sisters? Yeah. He's got the brothers and the sisters. In his hands, he's got the brothers and the sisters. In his hands, he's got the brothers and the sisters. In his hands, he's got the whole world. He's got everybody. Ready? He's got everybody in his hands. He's got everybody in his hands. He's got everybody in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Amen.
Yay.
Now, one of the ways we can show that God loves everybody is that we can do, just like Peter was told, to feed and tend the sheep. So the youth made these wonderful little baggies that have a bottle of water and a granola bar and a lovely prayer or a positive message. Now sometimes in our week, I keep one in my car that they gave me last week, because sometimes I run across people who don't have food, who don't have something to drink. And so it's great to have something that we can give. So I want each of you to take one of these to your family. And you know what? You may have a day where you're hungry and you're thirsty, so you can absolutely use it yourself. Or you can give it to anyone you think might want it. Yes, here you go. Did you get one? There you go. You didn't get one? Hold on, I'm not done yet. I think I've got enough for everybody. Can you have one for each family? Yeah. You want to pass one out? You want to give it to her over there? There you go. Here you go, baby. You all are able to feed and tend the sheep, and so we say amen. Let us pray before we all go. God, we thank you that at every age we are able to tend and care for the sheep. Amen?
Amen.
You want to give this away to somebody, Sophie? Can you give it to somebody out there maybe who might want one? Anybody want one out there? Yes, it does require some type of accountability. If you actually see someone who's hungry or thirsty, you may want to actually give it to them. Is there anybody who would do it? There we go. Amen. Thank you, Kyra.
Oh.
I just love the children's message. So please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, on this beautiful, bright Sunday morning, please give us ears to hear and open up our minds to understand your holy word from the scriptures this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The Old Testament lesson is the 23rd Psalm, found on page 474 in the Pew Bible and page 617 in the large print Bible. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. The New Testament lesson is from John, chapter 10, verses 22 through 30, found on page 98 of the Pew Bible and page 127 of the large print Bible. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." This is the word of the Lord.
Let it be, dear Lord.
may be seated. We are blessed this morning to have God called from within this own body a preacher this day. We thank you for our candidate in ministry, one of our candidates in ministry, Jerison Roca, who's going to be bringing the word today, and for his willingness to do so. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you so much.
God bless you.
Thank you, you all. The Father and I are one. And the next question is, what does it mean? So I was thinking how to impress this audience today. In other words, how to send a message across. And I have to confess that I changed the sermon, the whole thing, 3 times until I could feel myself comfortable in being here with you today. And the way to be comfortable and safe, otherwise I won't be invited again, who knows, is to stick with my beliefs. Share my beliefs with you. And in doing so, maybe, it doesn't belong to me or to you, the Holy Spirit of the Lord may inspire me and you, your lives, and once inspired, we may go out and also impress others with our words and mainly our deeds. So here I am, sticking with my beliefs, so be patient. I won't take much of your time. I believe in God, I truly do. The Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and I truly believe that God is the creator of all things, everything, things that I can see and things that I cannot see, neither you can see. I believe that God has given us to understand about God, basically what God had in his heart for us to understand about God. So, the Bible is the Word of God. God created everything, even us, all of us, you and me. And for some reason, we decide, you and me, to take a trip by ourselves, leaving God behind, and we fell. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible also says that God is love. I truly believe God is love. And in a certain moment in history, God decided to put together people who would work along with God in promoting the love of God among all peoples. The name of that people is Israel. And people, any people, when put together for some time, has this tendency to develop uses, customs, a peculiar way to understand life. And we call that culture. Israel also developed their culture. They understood that everything in their culture was originated in the midst of their relationship with God. And they are right, actually. But over time, they became so much attached to their culture that they forgot about their call. Which call? Promoting the love of God. They forgot their call. Because God is love, God decided to come into the world in Israel. God's self to tell humankind that God's love is for everyone. Again, everyone. Everyone fell. Humankind fell, but we never lost the image and likeness of God. And God came after that. That's what John Calvin says. God came into the world, and God's name at that time was Jesus Christ. Jesus, this, according to Karl Barth, this human mode of being of God, went after God's children, taking care of them, rushing towards them on the road, feeding them, restituting them into productive lives, and remembering them to be one with God. It's not enough to be good. Follow all the rules. Going to the temple in certain days. Do all the prayers. Following all the rules to be one with God. Somebody has to be merciful. Merciful again. And because the love of God is unconditional, unconditional is also the mercy. To make Israel, the Hebrew people, recall their own role as chosen people, Jesus circulated among people of bad fame, bad names, eating with them, eating with people. For the criteria of those days was a signal of friendship. Very dangerous stuff. Naturally, this behavior would provoke scandal among good people who followed all the rules. These good people, in their turn, started criticizing God, Jesus Christ. But why? The natural question is, why God, why Jesus would behave with such ambiguity? To answer this question, first we have to identify the way Jesus understood about his relationship with God. Jesus experienced God as a father of infinite goodness, and because of that, he, Jesus, and God displayed characteristics of a mother. Why a mother? A mother receives everyone, good and bad, and reveals unlimited mercy. That's what mothers do. The way Jesus expresses mercy is to be himself, Jesus, merciful, coherent with what he advised others. Be merciful as your Father, God, is merciful. That's why Jesus mingled with people of bad fame, with badges of bad fame, bad names, bad people in their chests, because in contact with them, they could feel and understand the divine mercy. Alleluia. Alleluia. To facilitate the comprehension of the good people, those who followed all the rules, those who were shocked by Jesus' behavior. God in Jesus, he tells three parables, which you know. First one, the lost coin. second one, the lost sheep, and the third one, the prodigal son. Everyone ends with these words, be happy. This is beautiful. Be happy, because I found the lost coin. Be happy because I found the lost sheep. And because my child was dead, be happy. And my child came back to life, was lost, and found. Anyone has to be cold-hearted and lacking spiritual insight. Please forgive me. Not to appreciate this experience of God as Father of Mercy. As I said earlier, the love of God is unconditional, and the mercy as well is unconditional. In this way, the third parable of the prodigal son is explicit. The father runs toward the son after the son, having wasted everything, and is coming back full of remorse. The father, God, does not ask nothing. On the contrary, kisses the child and prepares a feast. With this parable, God in Jesus sends a message across, not only to Israel, to everybody who has ears to hear. God is either a maternal father or a paternal mother who always comes back for God's children. Always comes back for God's children. Does not matter the badge they have, how malevolent they are, because they never leave God's heart. That's why God comes back. Israel, big time, failed God and not sending this message across. Israel killed God when they, the Jews, rejected and killed Jesus Christ. The very same message of God's love to everyone belongs these days, belongs to me, also belongs to you, belongs to the church of these days. Yesterday the Pope was in Lesbos, and the message he sent across was this: when looking to the refugees, you are not alone. You are not alone. But some churches, differently from Jesus, very rare turn to people so they can have an experience of mercy. They follow their own culture, as Israel did, terrorizing minds and souls with the flames of hell. Their choice is the road of moralism and anti-people, reinforcing fear, which keeps freedom captive and life a sad, very sad experience. And God, Jesus, denounces that attitude in the good son of the parable, the one who remained at home, doing everything right, following every rule of the Father. That good son, that's what the Bible says, not me, is the only one to be reprimanded by Jesus. Because this brother, the good son who follows all the rules, denies to go back to his brother. For Jesus, God, it was not enough to be good. One had to be merciful. And there are differences. Only this way somebody could be totally human, displaying mercy, the mercy of God. The Father that Jesus was announcing everywhere was a good Father, of course, but mainly a merciful Father to feel the pain. And that is nothing more personal than pain, nothing more personal, because we cannot talk about pain. We cannot use metaphors to express our own pain. So to feel the pain of others did not matter where they come from. Where they come from. From Mexico, from Africa, from Lesbos, from the United States, doesn't matter. To bend down to their level and understand their vulnerability without judging it, it was the originality of Jesus' message. And this message, my brothers, sisters, my dear friends here today with me, is quite present. And it is an ongoing need in this world. This world is cruel without any pity, as entire nations are crushed by the rapaciousness of the capital of money. How urgent and necessary is this scandalous and so radically human virtue we call mercy. We have to bring back, you and me, the Church of Jesus Christ has to bring back the presence of the good Father, but mainly, fundamentally, the merciful Father. Whew. So, it's time for me to finish the sermon. I will be leaving the church, and only God knows when I'll come back here. But I'll come back, probably in 2 weeks.
Good.
And as I come back, whenever I come back to God to worship with you, or even at home, to do my prayers, my personal prayers, I have to remember that I'm never alone. We are never alone. Because when we come before God, we always, always bring our brothers and sisters, even the ones forgotten along the way, with us. When Cain killed his brother Abel, he presented himself before God, and God asked him, "Where is your brother?" And he said, "My brother? Am I the keeper of my brother?" And that was the worst answer he could give to God. So that's why whenever I come here with you, whenever I bend my knees or stand up to pray to the Lord, I always bring with me my brothers and sisters, all those who were bashed, forgotten in the path, because we are never alone. We are never alone. remember. Help me to remember myself that for Jesus, it's not enough to be good to follow all the rules. It's fundamentally important. Return to others and show love, true love, practical love, and mercy. I love you.
Amen.
Well, please join me in the affirmation of faith. It's printed in your bulletin. In life and in death, we belong to God. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, we trust in the one triune God, the Holy One of Israel, whom alone we worship and serve. Now let us continue to worship God as we bring forth our tithes and offerings.